Please turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 12:20. We're still in chapter 12. And we're still on this main theme that Moses has been led by God to give the nation of Israel, to emphasize something that applies to us today. Last week the title was, "But the High Places Were Not Taken Down." People were worshiping God, but also worshiping in the high places. People do that today. We talked about that last week. Today the emphasis is that Moses, God, through Moses, tells the people of Israel, don't inquire after their gods. God was sending the Jews into the promised land of what is today Israel. It was inhabited by the Canaanites, who were wicked, immoral, killing their children, committing adultery, fornication, homosexuality, bestiality, everything imaginable in wickedness. And God says, I'm going to send you in there. I'm going to let you get rid of them, because wickedness is going to be judged. And when you get there, don't learn what they did. Don't pick up their way of living. Does that apply to us today? We're living in a wicked world. See, God was sending the Jews, who were a special people, into a corrupted land to clean it up and not learn what they do. Do not do what they do. For us, He called us out of the wicked world. Everybody here got called out of a wicked world that's truly embraced Jesus as your Savior. I was living in the world. You were living in the world. The world's corrupted. And what He's doing for us is He's saying, you're in the world, but not of the world. I don't want you to be of the world. You were in the world. Now I'm going to give you a new heart. I want you to stop living like you were living. That's what the church has done. That's why, you know, you read the book of Acts and you see all these pagan worshipers and idolaters and everything else. They come to Jesus and they say, I'm done with idolatry. I'm done with immorality. As Paul said in the Corinthian letter, and such were some of you, but now you're washed and clean because Jesus has saved you. But the same thing applies to us, that He's saying, come out of that world. Stop having anything to do with the world system. And we're going to see it, you know, we're going to apply it that way. This isn't a happy message today, because we're going to cover that Moses tells his people, when you get there, don't do what they're doing. What did they do? What did the Jews do over the centuries that followed? They learned how to do the things of idolatry. They became as wicked as the Canaanites, to the point where God had to judge them too. He judged the northern tribes of Israel. After their civil war, there was Israel, there was Judah, and the 10 tribes north, 2 tribes south. And God destroyed the northern tribes. Then He destroyed Judah because they became. And you know what I'm sensing, and I'm not the only one, a lot of Bible teaching pastors across the country, world, are saying, there's never been such a convergence of all the prophetic word being lined up ready for judgment. The judgment's coming to the world. But God, you know, in the same way that when the northern Israelis, who hated the fact that their king Jeroboam made idols, and they said, we're not going to do that, we're going to go to Judah. That's like everybody that's gone to Idaho and Wyoming. And we're going to get out of here. So they went down there. But then Judah, shortly afterwards, and that's what's going to happen to all these free states, are going to become enslaved states. Do you understand that? The Bible's going to apply in the whole world. The whole world is going to be under the sway of the wicked ones. It's delaying it. And just like Judah was 150 years later, then they were judged. But God always provided an escape plan, and our escape plan is the rapture. This time it's the whole world. God's going to take His church out of here before the time of Jacob's trouble starts. But we could be seeing some of the famine coming. We could be seeing some of these other things happen and the destruction. But God has promised He's going to take us to be with Him. And so it's so short to me, and I don't know, only God knows, but He's left us a lot of indications that there's an urgency. I was even just talking to somebody before. You can't mess around. You can't mess around. If you're here today and you have not bowed the knee to Jesus, watch this world. If you love the world, if you love all this corruption that's happening, then I grieve for you, because you're going to be lost forever in eternity in a place called hell. But if you see these things and it bothers you, but you are even more bothered by getting submitted to a creator in this Jesus, and you want to be a Jesus freak. It's okay to be a Jesus freak when he is the one that has given us everlasting life and he's going to take us to heaven. But you don't want to. You're making a horrible mistake. So, this message is not happy for the way this world is going, but it's joyful for those that love Jesus because we know this isn't our place. So, but it starts out with stuff that we've been covering the last couple of weeks as Moses continues to emphasize this is the only way to worship God and you cannot do it any other way. As I've been mentioning, this is the tabernacle and we're going to cover it one more time. It's going to be up on the screen too for those that can't see it as well. But when the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 12:20, Jews are on the east side of the Jordan getting ready to go into the promised land. When the Lord your God enlarges your borders, you go over there, you defeat the Canaanites, you spread out as he has promised you, and you say, let me eat meat because you long to eat meat. You may eat as much meat as your heart desires. If the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name, which was wherever this tabernacle was, whichever city this tabernacle was set up, was the place that he decided to put his name. Ultimately, it became Jerusalem when they built the temple. It is too far from you, that you've spread out in the nation, and it's too far to go and do a sacrifice where, again, when you sacrificed, you got to eat some of the meat. If it's too far, then you may slaughter from your herd and from your flock, which the Lord your God has given you, just as I have commanded you, and you may eat within your gates as much as your heart desires. Just as the gazelle and the deer are eaten, so you may eat them. The unclean and the clean alike may eat. So, but what God is saying is, if you're going to eat meat, fine. If you eat meat and you go to a high place and you want to worship God differently than here, then that's not fine. We covered that last week. And I want to emphasize for those that are just coming for the first time that the way the tabernacle was set up is to point to Jesus. You can't get to God, who was the Shekinah glory of God, was above the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holy Place. No windows, light was there, cloud by day, fire by night. That's where they knew God dwelt among the Jewish people. And you get through this door, Jesus says, I am the door. You first thing you sacrifice. You know, we're going to cover today abortion. And the first thing that everybody has to do is you have to say, Jesus is the only way to be saved, and God, forgive me for my sins. It's the brazen altar was a place where an innocent animal was killed, the blood was shed, and then the priest would come back and said, God has forgiven your sins. And I read an article, I saw the headline today, seen it so many times, raptureready.com today, news article. 37% of pastors in the country have a biblical worldview. You happen to have one of them. The worldview is that we will die in our sins if we don't come to Jesus. And that Jesus can forgive any sin. And so as we had Mother's Day last week, and we've had this 2 weeks of craziness in our country about abortion, where we were one vote away from making it a national law to have an abortion anytime, all the way up until birth, that a baby can be killed. By the way, it's killing a baby. It's not my body, my life, my freedom. It's a baby. It's a different genetics, different blood sometimes. It's a different life according to God. God's word says life begins in the womb. And as troubling as that is to people, because they might have had the consequences of actually getting an abortion, and they have two paths. They can go to God and ask for forgiveness for killing, because that's what it is. Or they can rebel against God even more and become narcissistic sociopaths and go nuts and go belong to Planned Parenthood and want to shut everybody down that doesn't agree with them. Those are the two paths. And see, if you don't get the forgiveness of God, you have to reject. If you don't even think you need to ask for forgiveness of God, you have rejected God. And when you reject God, you become a servant of Satan. And we have half the country serving Satan. We are one vote away. A Democrat had to say, no, I'm not going to be a Democrat. I'm going to vote for saving the life of children in the womb. And so, you can come to God And as my, I shared, my sister, she came, she wept with me. Kevin, they deceived me and I did an abortion and they botched the abortion, and she had pain from the scar tissue and everything the rest of her life, lived on pain pills, contributed to her death like 18 years ago. And she was crying and weeping, but she knew Jesus. And I said, Renee, you know, someday the tears are going to be wiped away. And here's the message. We can suffer the consequences of what we've done, even in our mind. Imagine what King David had to deal with his entire life. He, because of his own lust, he rebelled against God, committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband Uriah killed by sending him into battle, having the general say, make sure he dies in the battle by being stupid and getting him too close to the arrows, killed him, killed other men along with him, resulted in a civil war where tens of thousands of Jews died. Can you imagine? But yet, you see him running to God and says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. So anybody, if you have, God forgive me, a sinner. If you're here today and you go, I'm never going to ask God for forgiveness. Trump once said, I don't need to ask God forgiveness, I just decide to be better. That's a problem. You can only get to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who died on the cross for sins. If you reject that offer of salvation, you're doing it to the damnation of your soul. And then you come to Jesus, here's a sacrifice, the Holy Spirit washes you, and you get to have eternal life with God in heaven because Jesus rent the veil. There was a veil that separated the holy, this part was called the holy place, can't pull the roof off. Again, you have to be a Levite to do that. So the holy place is here. The holy of holies is here. And there, during the time of the Jews, the veil was closed. And you know what God symbolized by that? People can't come yet. Not till my Jesus comes. And then he's going to rip the veil because he's going to pay the price for sin. And God will be able to judiciously pardon us. So God told him, he goes, if you want meat, which they would enjoy by their sacrificial system, go for it, but don't do it religiously. You know, eat meat in your cities, but don't go, and now let's sacrifice it in a way on a high place, and we'll do it while we're having an orgy, while we're smoking dope, while we're, you know, smoking the peace pipe or anything else. We're just going to eat meat. And by the way, this verse destroys the idea that Christians shouldn't eat meat, because, and there was a guy that called the office once, knew a lot about the Bible, but he was trying to convince me if I wanted to be a good pastor, I'd tell you all, you can't eat meat. And I reminded him I'd read the whole Bible, and that he was a false teacher, and that he should read the whole Bible. Anyway, so verse 23, only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. God was always pointing, blood is life, like we talked about last week. You may not eat the life with the meat. You shall not eat it. You shall not pour it on the earth like water. And I mistakenly said that Arab Muslims, but there are some Arabs, and there's African Maasai people that make it a habit of eating, ritually eating the blood of goats mixed with their milk in Africa. And I know that there was a special that was showing people eating blood pies, and they were out of Egypt. But it is against Muslim law to eat blood, but not that Muslims always do what the law says. Neither do Christians, quote, Christians for that matter. But so anyway, and it's this verse here and other places in the Bible that some people refuse transfusions. It doesn't say don't get a transfusion. It says to not eat it. And so we have to be careful on that. But God wanted blood to be special. I mean, he wanted us to look at it that when Jesus shed his blood for us, and that's why Jesus said on the night he was betrayed, this is the covenant of my blood, that I am shedding my blood for your forgiveness. You shall not eat it, that it may go well with you and your children after you, when you do what is right in the sight of God. You know, when we do things right, good things happen. I mean, we don't bring bad things into our life. And by the way, they know blood is not good for you. And so that's why all the butchers bleed the meat, because it is now a medical fact that is bad for you. So if you eat meat with blood, you're getting sick. And they're going, man, we're getting sick, we're getting sick. And then the people would say, well, yeah, why don't we do what God says? He created everything. He knows what's best for us. And he says right here that it's good for us if we don't eat the blood. Well, somebody ought to tell the movie stars that are Satanists, because I have in your notes a link to Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly. I don't know who these people are, but they were in the news a couple weeks ago. How many of you saw the news? And, you know, because back in January, she did an Instagram and said, hey, we got engaged and we drank blood together. Some people got bothered by that. And when asked to clarify what she meant, the cover star of British Glamour's April 2022 issue last month explained, this is what her quote is. So I guess to drink each other's blood, her and her fiancé, might mislead people, or people are imagining us with goblets and we're like Game of Thrones. Now, I haven't seen Game of Thrones, but I'm assuming that that means in the Game of Thrones, is it a movie or is it a game? It's a show. Okay. Okay. So I would imagine the TV show has people drinking blood, because you're going, people are imagining that my fiance and I were doing what happens in the Game of Thrones, drinking each other's blood. But it's just a few drops. But yes, we do consume each other's blood on occasion for ritual purposes only. So, now what kind of ritual purposes do you think those are? Serving Satan. I don't know if they're advertised Satanists. But that's what Satan, you know, if God says don't drink blood, what does Satan say? Drink blood. If God says don't have sexual immorality, what does Satan say? Anything goes. God says I hate killing, I hate that anybody would kill a child. What does Satan say? Kill a child. Do it with impunity in your culture and everything else. So the Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So I'm grieved that these people have been deceived. And so much of Hollywood is deceived into worshiping Satan. And the major rock stars into serving Satan. 47 years ago, I was visiting my brother, who I told you last week passed away a week ago, in Moffett Field, California, Moffett Field Naval Station. And I got to his room before he got there, and there was a guy that was, his roommate was there in the barracks, and he had his locker open. I'm a brand new Christian. I mean, I'm just saved less than a year before that. But I knew my Bible. I knew especially how it ended. Satan loses, God wins. And he had all this Satan paraphernalia up on his locker. And so I started witnessing to him and talking to him. And he really opened up to me. I asked him how he got into it. Guess what it was? High school teacher. High school teacher was teaching, invited the kids to come and let me tell you tell me something besides what the curriculum at school is. Now it's in the school curriculum. You know, back then you had to like do it at home. And so he really opened up and he goes, Kevin, I've been to a human sacrifice in the San Francisco Bay Area. And they would kill me if they knew I was telling you. And I believe he was telling me the truth. I didn't ask for proof. But you know what human sacrifice is all involved in? They've studied the cultures of the Aztecs, Incas, and everything else. It's sacrificing, drinking blood. Because Satan is so in charge. And see, this was 47 years ago. What do you think is happening now? So, that you shall not eat it. Don't listen to Satan. Warn people that you see going towards Satan worship. There was a young lady that was here last week that was serving Satan. And came up and mocked God and mocked the study. And why do you believe in God as the creator? What's the proof that God is the creator? How do you know it's not aliens? And because of the truth, I warned her. I lovingly warned her. You're saying it so flippantly. You know, like just wanting to argue that this is real. Jesus really did come. He really did die on the cross. He is the creator. He rose from the grave. You better stop playing around with aliens. You better get right with God. It's everywhere. It's prolific in our society, which is, like I started out by saying, the ship's going down. This is not a things are going to be fixed in November. It's going down. And we have to be in with Jesus or bad things are going to happen. Verse 26, only the holy things which you have and your vowed offerings, everything that is required by law as your offerings to be dedicated to God, you shall take and go to the place which the Lord chooses. You must go here to be religious. Well, Kevin, I can worship God my own way. I'm a Christian. I can worship God my own way. Oh, so then you believe that Jesus is the only way to be saved and you've committed your life to Him. You've confessed that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and without Him, you would die and go to hell, and only He can wash you of sin. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, 37. I know I can work this out. That means 63% of the pastors won't even teach that in America. No, you have a different Jesus. You do not have this. You're at the high place, given some other message other than what God has for what it takes to be saved. You must only worship God His way. His way is Jesus. Is the only way. I've had people that, you know, quote, got saved and stayed here for years, and then finally, I can't take it anymore. Kevin, you say these 10 words. You have to believe in Jesus or you die and go to hell. I can't take that. I can't be here anymore. Well, I agree, because that ain't going to change. And I hope it changes in your heart, because it has to change in your heart, because it's the truth. It's what Jesus said. I want to believe a God. I want to believe somebody that dies, tells me that nobody takes his life, he gives his life, and that nobody can keep him from taking his life back and resurrecting and ascending into heaven and sitting at the right hand of the Father. I want to believe what he says instead of what anybody else says. And I know for sure I won't regret it. Neither will you. How many people have you been burned by somebody that gives you, hey, buy Bitcoin and you'll be a billionaire? You know, people are committing suicide all over the place because their Bitcoin just went down. One of the cryptocurrencies went to nothing. I bet you those people, man, I was misled. You're not going to be misled by listening to Jesus. There's nothing better than for our children to grow up to have the same thing. That they believe and trust in this Jesus. It never goes well to reject the commandments of Jesus. When the Lord your God, verse 29, cuts off from before you the nations, Canaanites, which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land. Why are they going to dwell in their land? Because God's a racist and he got rid of those poor little Canaanites. No, you're being deceived by Satan to believe that. No, because they were so wicked. He had to deal with it. And he said, you Jews are going to be my object of judgment. This time I'm not going to use a flood of water to wipe out the whole world that was full of evil and murder and contentions against God and man. And the thought and intent of the heart of men was evil continually. And he used a flood, except for 8 people. They were all dead. This time he's using the judgment of the Jews. Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. Let's turn to Genesis 34:1. Moses is begging them. God is begging them through Moses. You're going to be tempted. You're going to get into the nation of the Canaanites, and as you're destroying their cities, you're going to see golden calves, you're going to see fish gods, you're going to see cow gods, you're going to see Molech and all these other gods, and a lot of it's going to be sexual in nature and the way they worshiped, and don't be going to them and saying, hey, how did these people worship? Because there was some of them left behind in the land that they didn't destroy, and so they could go over to the town and say, you know, that part of the town that they didn't destroy them, and say, how do you guys worship your gods? And God is saying, don't even think about it. Does that apply today? Oh. Here's what happened to Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons and a daughter by Leah, his wife. And her name was Dinah. And they're traveling. Jacob's traveling. He's in northern Israel in a place called Shechem. Today it's Nablus, one of the main hotbeds of Arab-Palestinian hatred towards Jews. And now Dinah, the daughter of Leah and Jacob, whom she had born to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, wicked people, but not yet ready to be destroyed, prince of the country, saw her, he took her, lay with her, and violated her. He basically raped her. So, wow. So Dinah, man, I want to go see how the girls, the Canaanite girls, grow their hair, or how they do their hair, how they do their clothes, how they do their jewelry, how they do whatever. And so she goes into the world and she gets chewed up by the world. Can we do the same thing? Can our children do the same thing? You know, they listen to us. I bet you Jacob didn't say, oh yeah, go ahead. You know, go ahead, go check out the Canaanites. There's a reason why we're camped outside of the city of Shechem, because God has made us a special people, because we fear the true God and they're idolaters. And when you worship idols, you're worshiping Satan. And what Satan wants to do is rape and pillage and kill. So don't go. Don't associate with people that are wanting to serve Satan. And so then, back to Deuteronomy 12:30, take heed to yourself that you're not ensnared by them. How many of you have heard of the Amish? The Amish that live in Pennsylvania, they also live in Michigan. And what they're Anabaptists. That means the head of the Amish people that started it back in the 1500s. He said, you Catholics are lying to us. You say that an infant should be baptized and then they're okay as long as they're in the Catholic Church. That's not what the Bible says. You're liars. And what people need to do is they need to get old enough where they realize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. They need to confess and repent to God that they're a sinner and they want to be born again. And they worship Jesus. And then they get baptized because they are baptized because they believe. A baby can't believe. You guys are liars. So, of course, the Catholics killed them for saying that. But anyway, they're called Anabaptists. And when they came to America, they said, you know what? We want to serve this God. We just want to be simple. We want to live alone. We don't want to have the world confuse us. And so when electricity came, you guys keep electricity. Cars came along. We like our horse and buggy, et cetera, et cetera. And they flourish as people. Well, Brian and Rachel Johnson, you know, they came and visited here. They live in Michigan. There's an Amish community there. And he's learning how to shoe horses from an Amish guy. And they like him so much because he fears God and shuns evil, that they have invited him to live in their community. But they're going to allow him to be English, because that's what we are. Because if you have power, you're English. So they are actually converting one of the houses to put wiring in it, so this English guy can join our Amish community. So, but Rachel has befriended an Amish mother who has a daughter. And see, they're struggling. See, their Amish community is struggling. Man, I mean, we're telling our children they can't have smartphones. And that's just like going over the, that's just over the top. And so we just got to let them have smartphones. And so when Rachel first knew the mom and the daughter, just a beautiful relationship between mother and daughter. And she was just submissive. She was a typical Amish teenager. And they decided it's going to be okay to have smartphones come into the family. And now she's watched this young lady trashed, talks back to her mother, rebellious, everything else. And see, this can be the same for us too. You know, we're not living in an Amish community. I don't like cleaning up after a horse, so I'm going to stick with my Toyota truck. And all this other stuff. But it still applies. Because I'll tell you what, the Canaanite culture is in all the technology that is in our face today. And what it does for children is that they don't have the wisdom, they don't have the understanding, they haven't developed the fear of God of seeing the disaster of people's lives enough to just sit there and know, others may, I must not. I must not learn how to be a Canaanite in my phone. And look at the technology, the stuff that you can look at pictures that disappear. Nobody can ever find it. You think you're going to get away with stuff. And how can a kid with all the hormones and all this stuff and everybody else doing it, how are they going to survive? And that's why we're going down. I don't see a way of turning this around. You'd have to blow up all the technology factories. You'd have to go back to Amish. To even have hope for the next generation. You shall not worship. Verse 31, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination, adultery, promiscuity, spring break. You want to go to Florida? Florida is a red state. Yeah, they had tens of thousands of people just going to hook up for spring break here a month ago. Causing all kinds of grief. Imagine all the suffering, all the emotional suffering of all the women taken advantage of by men to their own. I mean, they contributed to it. Men taking advantage of men, taking advantage of children, getting drunk, getting high, getting diseases, everything else. And God says that it will go good with you. What does Satan do? That it will go bad with you. But that's the draw. Man, if I could just go and party, if I could just get someplace and go do serve Satan. Every abomination of the Lord which he hates. Why does he hate it? So we can't have fun? No, because he knows it destroys his creation. I used to think of Christians growing up in high school, and I didn't have many of them in the high school, but I go, what do they do for fun? I mean, they live such a boring life. All they want to do, why don't you go to church with me? Why? Why would I want to do that? Now I know why I want to do that. He hates what they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. What's that? Abortion. I hate all this. I hate what Satan does to people to deceive them into a life that they stoop down to the point of killing children, abusing children. You know, I mean, college campuses are teaching pedophilia. You're legalizing homosexuality. Look what that's going to lead to. Oh, it's not going to lead to anything. Get over it. Then, oh, now they're teaching it's going to be okay to have pedophilia. And just on and on and on. We are going to Noah. As in the days of Noah. Let's turn to Romans 1:18. So really, the history after Moses, the children of Israel go into the promised land. They don't get rid of all the Canaanites as God had told them to. So the remaining population of Canaanites taught the people how to worship their gods. The Jews started worshiping their gods. They turned away from God. They turned to evil. And then judgment came. And because they knew the truth, they knew what God had commanded, they turned away from the truth, and they worshiped devils, demons, and served Satan instead of God. Well, Book of Romans, Paul mentions that that's the way any destruction comes to any people who know God, turn away from the truth, they will then go serve Satan. We as a country, even though not everybody was a Christian, this country was born with a bunch of people coming here saying, you know what, we just want to worship God in simplicity and truth. We want the Ten Commandments to rule our culture. We want all kinds of laws of the Old Testament to rule our laws, to be the foundation of our laws. And we turned away from that. The country turned away from that, not just because we decided to, but because Satan infiltrated and started getting hold of our educational system, got hold of our judicial system, got hold of all these different power plays in our government, and have completely taken over. And there's no taking it back. Some people think you can. I don't see, historically, I don't see where it's going to happen without judgment. So they're going to worship something. See, if we don't worship the true God, because humans are made to worship God, and if we turn away from the true God, our Creator, we end up worshiping something. And that something is always going to be where Satan leads people to worship. And that's what Romans 1 says. For the wrath of God, Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Is the truth being suppressed today? Now, again, technology can be used for good instead of evil. I know Mike Walsh, he would show me some of the ways he would witness on Facebook and stuff. Oh, what a perfect argument for this and this, and telling people about Jesus. And he used to be getting all kinds of responses, and then it went dark. He would send off these messages, and it's like, Kevin, you know, and he would talk to some of the friends, did you see my post? No, they shadow banned him. Suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. If you want to use the technology today to try and communicate the truth about love for Jesus or whatever else, as soon as the algorithms get hold of you, you're going to be shadow banned. You're going to hit send and it's not going to go anywhere because they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The news this last week about how our demonic government wants to have the Disinformation Governance Board run by a lady who is known liar, a known deceiver, and is now going to be in charge of making sure nobody tells the truth, which to her is a lie. And so to her, and this is what the Bible says in Isaiah, judgment comes when people call the truth a lie and the lie the truth. And now they're making, in violation of anything that's constitutional, they're going to have this lady in charge of a department to make sure the truth can't come out. The Bible, this is 2,000 years ago, they suppressed the truth and their unrighteousness, their desire. No media is going to be allowed to have a mother like my sister get up and explain to the world what's wrong with us saying that we don't have a constitutional right to kill our children. Look at what happened to me. Did anybody ever hear on any media in this country, even one woman who gets to explain the misery that she's gone through every Mother's Day? And God hears the women that are viciously saying, nobody has a right to make me a mother. During Mother's Day. Did anybody hear the emotion that they go through, the trauma, thinking, wow, you know, what if my child would be that old? I wonder whether it was a boy or a girl, or sometimes they get to know, and just the misery that happens. Which again, like I told my sister, you know, it's going to bother you, but Jesus is going to wipe away all the tears from your eyes. And they're suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. We are spiritual creatures. We want to worship something. We think it's God. And it goes on to say manifest in them, for God has shown it to them through the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their life. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes of being a good God and a creator of all things that we see, attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So, the creation is testifying that there's a God. So what does Satan do? Suppressing the truth, Jesus created everything, with unrighteousness. Oh, no, we all just evolved from the goo of the ocean. And we're just mutated amoebas. Suppressing the truth with unrighteousness. Is there a single school in this country that teaches that God created the heavens and the earth? Will you ever hear that from any news media anywhere? That what if we didn't evolve? Oh, we have this discovery about DNA that it's impossible, that it just happened by chance and time. It's impossible. Do you ever hear anything like that in any kind of news media? No, because they're suppressing the truth. And the unrighteousness to deceive people that they into thinking they don't answer to anybody. But we are going to answer to God. Because although they knew God by the conscience and the creation, They did not glorify him as God because he tells me what to do. Because he has thou shalt and thou shalt not, and I don't agree. I'm the God of my own universe and I'm going to do what I want to do. They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, what does the Bible say is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So what's foolishness? Foolishness is not having a fear of God. Foolishness is, I don't answer to God. He doesn't exist for me. I'm God. I get to be my own God. And they're foolish and they're blinded. Their foolish hearts are dark and professing to be wise. They become fools. They think we're idiots to believe in the creation. They think we're fools and they're wise. Well, that's going to last for a short time on earth, and then they're going to stand before the Creator and they're going to find out, wow, I played the fool. Became fools and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Their foolish hearts caused them to worship the creation instead of the Creator. Do people have, are we almost required by the, to worship the creation? To worship Mommy Earth? To worship anything but the true God of the universe? Therefore, because this is what happens when a people who knew God, knew what he said, rejected it, got rid of the Ten Commandments, got rid of ever mentioning him ever publicly in any media, then God says, therefore, verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their own heart, of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So this is another reason why it's not turning around. From the Bible, it's a biblical worldview. When a people know the truth, they depart from the truth, and they go after wickedness and rebellion against God, then God gives them over. He just, okay, you want to go just serve the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life? You hate me, you hate my laws, you're going to be your own person? Well, it won't go well with you, but go ahead. I won't even restrain you anymore. I won't even try and put a restraining force. You know, we had a restraining force on our country for a long time, but because we were more and more getting into the homo agenda, more and more into the different agendas of sacrificing our children and everything else, God has flipped the switch. It's so obvious to me. He's flipped the switch, and he's given us over. Not us. He's not giving us over because we gave up. We gave up and came to him. But the world is heading towards destruction, as prophesied in the Bible. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. What's that? Lesbianism, serving Satan instead of God. Accoladed, taught, encouraged to the point of just unbelievable foolishness, where people can say, well, I'm a lesbian today, I'm straight tomorrow, I'm binary next week, I'm this and that, and changing body parts and all this other stuff. I mean, it's just, I mean, do you realize the God of creation is looking down at what we're doing? And he's real. And he hates this stuff. And he grieves along with us that it's happening. And the day of judgment is coming. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust, one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. What's that? Homosexuality. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, who knows, because they know the God of the Bible that created them doesn't like them to live in filthiness and destruction of their own lives. Because they didn't want to do that, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. He's given them over. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Every news item now is almost how many people went in and got killed in this store and shot up in that store and everything else. You know what? We haven't seen anything yet. Not anything yet. Wait until the famine hits. You know, they've engineered the globalists who are inspired by Satan to destroy the last bastion of what was God-fearing people. We are it. When we're gone, then they're done. They have got control of the world. Why? America has to be destroyed, and God is allowing Satan to do it through these satanic minions that are at his disposal. They're stopping the ability to grow crops through fertilizer. They are starving the babies already. Really, you couldn't figure out how to keep, you know, Similac on the, is it Similac? You can't keep baby formula on the shelf. And now I'm hearing from a truck driver who delivers food to people that they are saying that maybe even by the end of this month there's going to be major diesel shortages, like gone. Do you realize that we get our food from truckers that take stuff to Safeway, KFC, and everything else? And there's going to be trucking companies, there's already gas stations dedicated to giving diesel to truckers that are shutting down because there's not enough fuel to get to everybody. Now imagine when people start going hungry with all their AKs and their AR-15s and everything else. Think what's going to happen. And because they're unrestrained, they don't want to believe in God that says thou shalt not murder. They're not going to believe in God that says you shall not covet your neighbor's storage of food and you cannot, all this. Imagine the complete godliness mixed with horrors of famine, and this place is going to light off. Murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. That includes you if you love God. Violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things. Think of all the inventions that people have made to create immorality. Most of the video technology has gone to support what industry? Porn. Let's make it so cameras can capture this and, have the storage capacity reduced, make streaming available, all this other stuff, because more money is devoted to porn than all the national, football, baseball, soccer, hockey combined. That's where the money is. That's where the technology went. To inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. None of you kids fit this, right? Parents, raise your hand if... Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy. How many untrustworthy? It used to be you could trust people. Unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of hell, of death and hell, not only do the same, but they also approve those who practice them. Deuteronomy, let's go back to Deuteronomy 12:31. Don't you know the Bible says you'll go to hell for doing these things? Yeah, talk to somebody who cares. I used to be that way. I used to, even though I didn't believe in God, and therefore didn't really believe in a heaven and hell, just believed in reincarnation. But when I was doing stuff and people were saying, well, whatever, you could die doing that. Yeah, see you in hell. Like I didn't even care. Because I was blinded and deceived by Satan, the enemy of my soul. And by the grace and mercy of God, he tolerated, keep putting up with me long enough for me to hear people tell me about Jesus. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way for every abomination. So we do not do anything. We do not learn from the Canaanites how to live abominably in our phones, on our TVs, in our social media, and what we do. We don't do what the pagans do because we love Jesus. We belong to him. You know what the Satanists are arguing? They filed in court over this Supreme Court decision that's supposedly coming out. The article from Infowars.com by Adam Salazar, Satanists to argue in court filing that abortion is a satanic ritual. The Constitution says I have freedom of religion. We're Satanists. That's a religion. And for us, killing babies is part of the ritual of serving Satan. And so you have to let us and our Satanist congregations to allow people to abort, even if that's not state law or federal law. And you know what? God sees that. God is watching and he's seeing what we're doing. And that's why the Titanic's going down. We better be really putting people into the lifeboat. Get them out of the dance hall saying, hey, you know, you might think it's an unsinkable ship, but God's word says we're going down. And you better get in the lifeboat. His name is Jesus. 2 Kings 17:6. Let's turn there. We're going to quickly go through this. Running out of time. If we do run out of time, the notes there, I'd encourage you to read it. It's kind of self-explanatory with the background we've had. This is northern Israel. Centuries after, Moses is begging them in Deuteronomy 12, don't do what the Canaanites do. Again, the Jews didn't listen. They rebelled. Centuries later, it's finally judgment time for northern Israel. The northern 10 tribes. In the 9th year of Hosea, the last king of Israel, there was never a good king of the northern 10 tribes. They were all wicked. The last king of Israel, the king of Assyria, which is Iraq today, the king of Assyria took Samaria, the capital city of northern Israel, and carried Israel away to Assyria. Go to verse 9. Also, the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right, and they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. So why is God allowing the Assyrians to conquer them? Because they did the wickedness of the Canaanites who were before them. And by the way, so what was the escape plan for the people that really feared God? Like I said earlier, they left and went to Judah. So the escape plan for them was Israel to Judah. Even though they weren't from the tribe of Judah, they said, we're getting out of here. Judgment's coming someday. And then Judah, the people that escaped from Judah was because the prophet said, if you fear God and shun evil, God's judgment's coming to Judah. So you give up, you defect to Babylon and you'll save your life. What's happening now is everybody is going to be under the enslavement of the satanic global government of the Antichrist. There's no escaping the global government to go someplace to hide out. So what's God's escape plan for his people now? We're going to be with him. He always, when judgment's coming, he always takes those that are faithful to be with him before it falls. So they set up for themselves sacred pillars, by the way, sacred pillars, wooden images on every high hill, under every green tree. That was their version of porn. They burned incense in all the high places like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. And they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols of which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing in Deuteronomy 12. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets, every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servant the prophets. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. Is that true today? You know what? God isn't sending prophets now. He already has through the Word of God. What is he sending? You. This is another key of today's study. You are to say, you're living in rebellion against your Creator, and you will die and be separated from him forever. You can turn away from your wicked way, and you can repent and come to Jesus. But only through Jesus, by faith in him, confessing your sin, giving up your hatred for him, and you can have everlasting life. If you don't take that, it's a one-shot deal. It's God's only salvation plan. That's what we're here for. And the church contributed to the demise of this country by not making that clear. That is not preached today in many of the pulpits of America. And they rejected the statutes, his covenants that he had made with their fathers, and his testimonies, which they had testified against them, they followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Deuteronomy 12. Hundreds of years later, judgment's coming. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God. When was the last time you ever heard anybody bring up God's commandments are good for our good and they have to be obeyed? You have to turn your life to Jesus. Anybody, you should be one of them. So they left all the commandments, made for themselves molded image and two calves. Their very first, after the Civil War, their very first king, Jeroboam, made a golden calf in the south part of Israel and a golden calf in the north part of Israel. They never got rid of that idolatry. Hundreds of years, none of the kings, none of the people demanded to go back to the law of God. They kept their idols and worshiped the host of heaven. And again, it's like today, it's like evolution in education. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. Final exclamation mark. Abortion. Practiced witchcraft and soothsaying and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now, we don't do witchcraft in America, do we? No, soothsaying. Hey, did you hear that if you use the McDonald app, maybe this week too, last week for sure, if you use it this week to buy some fries, you get a McDouble and a McChicken, my two favorite. They used to be my two favorite. If you order the app and you just French fries, you get a free McChicken and McDouble, and you get entered into a special drawing where a homosexual astrologer, Madam Adam, will give you a reading of your tarot cards. I go, man, I can't go to McDonald's anymore. I'll have to go to Taco Bell. Oh, Taco Bell. All across the country, Taco Bell is having drag brunch, where a drag queen will come into the Taco Bell and help deliver your tacos to you. Oh, I can't do it. And Burger King did something. I can't even remember what it did. I'm going to famine even before the shelves go empty. Huh?
And your health is improved.
And my health is improved, yeah. You know, Jeremiah 32:28 to 35 is the same thing. 150 years later, all the people that from Israel went to Judah. Did Judah decide, man, we better learn from Israel. They can be destroyed by disobeying God. And so they repented, right? Got rid of all the idols, right? Kept serving God. No. Joined them. Joined them in doing the same thing. And Jeremiah testified to them, God is going to destroy Jerusalem because you're doing the same thing. So that's what Jeremiah chapter 32 says. We don't have time to cover it. But... and let's go to verse 35, chapter 32, 35, and we'll close with that in 36. And they built the high places to Baal, to Satan, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, which was south of the Temple Mount, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. It was Planned Parenthood location. That's where Planned Parenthood was set up, is to the south of Jerusalem. Which I did not command them, nor did it come to my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. You know, God is basically saying, how could they do this? That's what God is saying. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the city of which you say it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword. Is civil war coming to this country? I mean, as soon as famine comes, I'm telling you, there's going to be killing. Sword. And that's ignoring the fact that never in the history of the world since the invention of the nuclear bomb have so many nations said we're about to be in nuclear war. And I'm not saying since 62. I'm saying never. Everybody's getting ready. Russia is saying if you cause Finland and Sweden to join NATO, we're going to push the button. And on and on and on. And the West, the globalists, it's like, oh, you say you'll nuke? Okay, well then let's do it to make it happen. Satan is deceiving the cult group, the demons that are in charge of our government, to try and get us killed. By the hundreds of millions. By sword, by famine, by pestilence, using Fauci. So, Deuteronomy 12:31, you shall not worship the way the world does. Can we all agree that we don't want to worship the way the world does? And I hope it just causes us to double down, because we live in a most, you know, the world is just all over us. We have to commit our lives to Him. The final judgment's upon us. Jesus paid it all for us to be forgiven. We're going to sing, Jesus paid it all. Let's remember that. He paid it all by being God, the God-man that came and resisted temptation to the point of sweating great drops of blood and died on our behalf so that we could have life. And if he can do all that for us, then can we turn off the world when it's trying to enslave us and snare us and get our minds off of the God who created us? Of course we can. Jesus paid it all. And let's worship Him. Father, we thank You for this time. God, we praise You for declaring that we are Your adopted sons and daughters. If we just simply came through Your Son, Jesus, to say, God, forgive us a sinner. That You wash us and cleanse us and You make us citizens of heaven. You give us a passport. You give us a hope, Lord, where we'll be with You and we'll be set free from this wicked world. Help us to stay unstained from the world, to be in the world but not of the world, and to worship You until the day You call us home. Help us to warn our friends and neighbors and co-workers who are blinded by the lies of Satan and don't yet know what's at stake, and that we would help us to discern what to tell them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God.
Watch and pray, find in me Thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Indeed I find Thy power and Thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin. sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Let it sink in. He paid it all. A debt we couldn't pay, he paid. So we could be forgiven and have life. We owe it all to him. God bless you, keep you in his care till we can fellowship again. And Jesus said, when you see these things begin to take place, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And keep that in mind. God bless you till we can fellowship again.